Hello everyone, this is Dr. Suri Mondas, the co-founder and managing director of iFirst International. Our mission is to professionalize the non-profit sector or any cause-based organization or enterprise such they're able to achieve their impact on the ground. To do that, we focus on the issues at the board and management level. Today we have with us an old friend of mine, Dr. Daryl, formerly known as Daryl to Friends. He's the CEO of the Roundtable Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, an international not-for-profit organization based in Malaysia. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you.
Before we get into the brass tacks of our discussion, let me share with our listeners what RSPO's vision and mission is all about. RSPO's vision is to see the markets transform themselves to accept sustainable palm oil as the norm. Their mission is based on four pillars: advance the production, procurement, finance, and use of sustainable oil products. Number two, develop, implement, verify, assure, and periodically review credible global standards for the entire supply chain of sustainable palm oil. Number three, monitor and evaluate the economic, environmental, and social impacts of the uptake of sustainable palm oil in the market. And finally, engage and commit all stakeholders throughout the supply chain, including governments and consumers. So, Daryl, let's discuss a little bit how an organization such as yours has to battle the adversities of perception and mindset in your kind of job. So my first question to you is, time and time again we see that RSPO is in debate with the markets, public view, and also governments on the issue of your existence and your organization's motive. How do you wrestle with all of this?
Oh, thanks. Good question. I think for me it's a personal revelation over time that you have to realize that change is always painful. Number one. And people go through change at different speeds. And there's always, you know, the four stages of change, right? First is denial. There's always denial. And then, you know, slowly you go to acceptance and institutionalization, right? So, or exploration. So you have to recognize that first. That's number one. So you will have people who will deny for many years. But there are some early adopters out there. So you have to tackle each of these stakeholders depending on where they are in these stages of change. So that's the first thing you have to do. Otherwise you'll be stressed out. If you don't come to this realization, you will be very much stressed out. Second, I've also with this kind of, you know, the detractors, knowing that there'll always be detractors out there, we try to be very factual about how we communicate. We don't really go campaigning, but we just be factual. And I think we want to focus people on what are the impacts on the ground, rather than, you know, turning this into a beauty pageant, right? So, our organization is pretty compared to yours, and it's useless conversation. I would like to say that our work that we do delivers, you know, makes a smallholder bring more income, avoids degradation of forest, we keep more forest around us. You know, that's the kind of language we prefer to communicate. So, for example, I can easily go up to a person and say, well, I don't want to really compare organizations, but I can say that, you know, for our organization, we have last year saved 200,000 football fields, the forest equivalent to the size of 200,000 football fields. That's last year. Or we have touched the lives of 140,000 smallholders. I prefer this kind of conversation rather than, you know, my market share is this much and all that. No, I prefer to talk about the impacts on the ground. And that brings a conversation to a different, I say, different tone of conversation. So that's a better conversation to have with these people. I also feel that, you know, in order to, and there will be all sorts of noise, detractors. I think yourself, the person who leads this organization, or the people in the organization needs to understand for themselves why they are in this organization and where lies their moral compass, where's the true north for them. And if you don't know where true north, then you will lose yourself with the noise. So that's also another thing that I try to encourage my team. Understand why you're here, understand where your true north is, and forget about the noise.
Okay, so those are very interesting insights to what you said. I guess when you say true north, you don't mean go west, meaning a sunset aspect, right? No. But when will you ever know if your mission has been achieved? I mean, and what would be the markers that will indicate that the issue is no longer or there, or one has to refocus on new conversations? When does that happen?
I think, to know when your mission is achieved is quite simple for us. if it's when it's easier to find sustainable palm oil than non-sustainable palm oil. So that's easy. That's the easy bit. The question, the harder question is to know whether the sustainable that you define today is sustainable tomorrow. Now that's the harder question. And that's the only way we know how to do it is through this multi-stakeholder initiative that you have. So because we bring many stakeholders on board, we bring civil society on board, we bring business on board, we bring producers on board, bankers and all these guys, they help to keep us relevant. A guy from, say, a market in Iceland, let's say, he says, well, you know, your current definition of sustainable is lacking because it doesn't cover, I don't know, the polar caps, let's say, right? So then they will say, well, why do we need to cover? And he'll explain, right? This person will explain to us. And then we'll say, well, that's relevant. We should tackle this. So the subject of sustainability is never constant. It's always on the move. And by bringing all these stakeholders in, it keeps us on our toes because they'll always test us. They'll always bring to the table new issues, which will help redefine what sustainability is. So the first bit of the question is, how do we know when our mission is achieved? Easy. When it's easier to buy sustainable palm oil. The harder question is, how do we know whether it's sustainable? What we produce is truly sustainable? And that can only come to some encouraging, tough questions from our stakeholders.
So it's actually an outside questions
coming in.
Okay. And I guess in terms of this, when you're actually working this, all this in the context of your work or your business, campaigning and communication strategies become a key component. I mean, this is my view at least. To your actual management decision making. So what have you seen change since your early days when you first started off being the CEO of this organization, and what's happening now when it comes to campaigning and communication strategies?
So I think in the early days, we are appealing to the early adopters, and the message to the early adopters is about, when you tell them the issues on the ground, you know, the issues around unsustainable palm oil, and then you tell them about the availability of sustainable palm oil, it's almost, nobody's taking it up, so it's scarce, right? It's a scarce commodity. So for early adopters, scarcity is a very appealing thing, right? Oh, it's scarce, therefore I want to be first. So that was probably the kind of message that we go for. Now as we move on past the early adopters, and going towards mass adoption, you have to change the message that they want to hear is different. And I think, and rightly so, the message now people want to hear is about impacts. So, okay. So, you know, previously nobody was doing it, so now, then I jumped in, so what does it mean? Does it mean that I become a better company? Does it mean I conserve more biodiversity? Does it mean I help more people on the ground? People want to know what it means. So I think that's how we are communicating a lot more now, is about impact. So we've got tons of scientists around the world in our conference in Bali, and which will upload our presentations on the web soon. You will see many scientists researching on RSPO from, you know, this blue Ivy League universities are doing it, to any university in the world, Indonesia, Malaysia, you'd be surprised, UK, Denmark, Netherlands, US, Australia, everybody, a lot of people are researching on RSPO for several reasons. One is, they see impacts, anecdotal impacts, and they want to test whether it's a real impact, number one. Number two is, it's an organization, it's a movement that's changing a lot of behavior in supply chains, not only for palm oil, but for other supply chains, right? And the change in behavior is not only for like producer, but it's only changing the behavior of NGOs, campaign NGOs now becoming more collaborative. It's changing the behavior of financial institutions who thought themselves divorced from the whole supply chain issue because they don't really deal with the oil. They now realize that they finance the oil and the movement of the oil. So therefore, they need to be part of it. So these changes have happened along the supply chain. It's appealing for a lot of people to research. And when they research, they produce the impacts of what we do. And I think it's more credible. And that's something we communicate more, using other people's research rather than So I think those are the big changes we've made. We also try to tell people in the past that we were a global organization. And a global organization can change behavior. But I think we've realized that whilst it was a relevant message then, more relevant message today is to tell people that we are a global organization producing global tools, but trying to change local, make local impact, and local impact by local players. That's what we're trying to tell people, because people don't realize this. Oh, it's global. They don't own it. But we say global tools, local impact.
And that's interesting messaging. And yeah. I guess that's not your tagline really, is it?
No.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. And I'm sure our listeners will be out there to actually, maybe you want to get in touch with RSPO or yourself. How should you get in touch with...
Well, you can go to our website, www.rspo.org. And in that website, I have my fabulous team on display. If you click who we are, I think you'll see, I think we have 70 staff pictures there, and every picture has an email address. We have a general email address, rspo@rspo.org. You can contact us through there.
Great. Thank you very much for your clairvoyance into these questions asked. This is Dr. Suri Monda signing off with a message to our listeners to share this audio interview with others who would benefit from this foreknowledge. You can check us out on www.ifirstinternational.com. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Thank you.